It's Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's past. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier, with you for this hour of horror. Later on, we'll hear a story from the Weird Circle, but right now it's the Haunting Hour, one of the more mysterious programs of radio's yesteryear, as in the programs have survived, but little to no information about the program has. Whether it comes to actors or the production staff, we do know that the series was syndicated in the mid-1940s and that this next broadcast is called Till Murder Do Us Part.
Break the stillness of this moment, for this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the Haunting Hour. Murder, do us part.
Just a moment, Johnson. You think you can go on, Miss Talbot? Perhaps you'd rather wait.
No, I'm all right now.
Read what you have so far, Johnson.
My name is Nora Talbot. Exactly 5 months ago, I was employed by Marion Dunning, well-known play producer and widow of the late philanthropist Wilcox Dunning. I was to act as... That's where she broke down, sir.
Is that correct so far, Miss Talbot?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Whenever you're ready to continue.
I was to act as a confidential secretary, to live at the Dunning estate and primarily read play manuscripts for Mrs. Dunning. I liked my job because, well, I liked Marion Dunning. She was very easy to get along with, very considerate.
I hope you find your room comfortable, Nora. Just tell Tompkins, the butler, if there's anything you want.
Pleasant, easy to get along with, considerate. She made me feel more a personal friend than just an employee.
Now, look here, young lady. Stop working so late. A pretty girl like you ought to be out nights enjoying herself.
I liked Mrs. Dunning. I really was very happy there until Wallace Strieber came into the picture.
Nora, I want you to meet Wallace Strieber. He's been kind enough to let me read his new play.
And produce it. I assure you the pleasure's all mine, Nora.
I disliked him on sight. He was always talking about money.
Yes, Nora, I've always wanted the golden Midas touch. And soon I hope I'm going to have it.
He was always talking about his play.
It won't be long, Nora. I can see the blazing lights on the Broadway marquees. Talk to Death by Wallace Strieber. The Rage of New York.
Always talking about money. Always talking about his play. Yes, even always making advances toward me. And Mrs. Dunning was too infatuated with him to notice. I was far from surprised the day Mrs. Dunning told me she and Strieber were going to be married. He had mentioned to me several times that it would be a good idea. And Wallace Strieber wasn't one to abandon a good idea. He was the kind of man who would stop at nothing.
I, Wallace Strieber, take this woman to be my lawfully wedded wife. to have and to hold in sickness and in health until death do us part.
I could see the smirk on his face as he repeated the marriage oath. And each word he said etched my hatred for him deeper and deeper. Then 5 minutes later at the reception party...
Nora! How about a kiss for the groom?
I'm sorry, Mr. Streber, I'm busy.
Oh, now don't pull away. At a wedding, it's unfriendly not to kiss the groom. You don't want to be unfriendly, Nora, do you?
I have to see Tompkins about Mrs. Streber's baggage.
It's just about time you paid some attention to Mr. Streber. You're working for me now, too. Doesn't the idea please you?
As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Streber, I'm only your wife's secretary.
Oh, come now. I think we should understand each other a little better.
I understood him perfectly. He was out for money, the Dunning pocketbook. He was out for fame, his play on Broadway. He was out for all he could get, and Marion Dunning was the only way he could get it. One night, shortly after they returned from their honeymoon trip, we were having dinner.
I know I've been talking about it for the last month. I know you don't like the play, but marry an angel, be an angel.
Oh, he's incorrigible, isn't he, Nora?
Well, let's face it. The only way to get my play on Broadway is for you to back it. Why should we let $40,000 stand in the way of my happiness? After all, if my own wife hasn't confidence in me...
I do have confidence in you, Wallace. You know that. But I don't have confidence in your play. Talk to death is too...
It's implausible.
Yes, Nora, it's implausible.
Oh, so Nora's read the play, too, has she?
Nora reads every play before I produce it. She has excellent judgment. Tell Wallace what you told me about his play, dear.
Well, I...
Go on, Nora.
Well...
Go on, Nora.
Well, the play's illogical. A man talking a woman into suicide because of a wager, well, it's an incredible situation.
Go on.
Well, that's all.
I see. I suppose you agree with that, Marion?
Nora's absolutely right. A man could never talk a woman into suicide in real life, Wallace. It's silly. Why don't you try writing something else, darling? I'd love to read anything else you wrote.
That's enough.
Wallace? Why, Wallace, what's the matter? Why, I... Wallace!
I soon came to learn that it was dangerous to cross swords with Wallace Streber. The very next night, Mr. Streber sent for me.
You'll find Mr. Streber in the library, Miss Nora.
All right, Tompkins, I'll be there in a little while.
But Mr. Streber said you should come at once, Miss.
Oh?
Begging your pardon, Miss, but I'd watch my step if I were you. He seemed to be quite put out about something.
Oh, thank you, Tompkins. You wanted to see me, Mr. Streber?
Yes. Please come in, Nora. I do hope you'll forgive my actions last night. I'm afraid I lost my temper. But your criticism of my play seemed more like a personal insult.
My criticisms of plays are always objective, Mr. Streber. I'm sorry that you...
I understand.
I was only doing my job.
I understand perfectly. Nora, things could be very pleasant around here for you if you were a bit more... more cooperative.
Is that all you wanted, sir?
No. Sit down, Nora. Cigarette?
I don't smoke.
Nora, my wife has a very high regard for your opinion.
Yes?
Nora, how would you like to make some money? A lot of money.
What do you mean?
I mean that I'd make it worth your while if you'd convince Mrs. Streber to back my play.
Sorry, Mr. Streber. Not interested.
I see. Nora... I said before that things could be very pleasant here for you. I say now that things can also be very unpleasant. That's all. Good night.
He tried every way to make things unpleasant. He tried everything to turn Mrs. Streber against me. First.
That story Nora's writing, Marion. Did you ever read Walton's Night Ride? I'd say certain sections were copied verbatim.
He accused me of plagiarizing a story I was writing, but that was only a start.
But I tell you, Marion, she was paid to recommend that play to you.
He accused me of accepting a bribe to recommend someone's play to Mrs. Streber. He even accused me of stealing it.
Marion, my wallet's missing. I left it on the library desk, and Nora's the only one who's been in there since last night.
but Miss Nora. Mr. Streber's wallet was in his bureau drawer. It was there all the time.
I thought as much, Tompkins. He'd say anything to get me into trouble.
I'm terribly sorry, miss. I told Mrs. Streber.
Thank you anyway, Tompkins, but I'm afraid it won't make much difference. He tried everything to get rid of me, but I stayed. Mrs. Streber wanted me to, but I could feel the difference in her manner toward me. Not so considerate, not so pleasant, not so easy to get along with now. But I stayed. I stayed to find out why Streber was so anxious to get me out of the way.
Marion.
Just a minute, dear. I have to get this letter off tonight.
Marion.
Oh. What is it, Wallace?
After all I've told you, Nora's still around, I see.
I know. I wanted to speak to her, but... Well, you just can't accuse people of things like that without any proof.
My word should be proof enough.
Well, I'll talk to her tomorrow, Wallace.
Tomorrow, tomorrow. Everything tomorrow. Why do you always keep putting things off? And you keep putting me off about my play.
The play. Wallace, must we talk about that again?
I'm getting a little tired of talking about it myself, Marion. Are you going to produce it or not?
I told you, Wallace. It's impossible to get away with anything like that on Broadway. A man talking a woman into suicide. Why, the critics would laugh at it.
Laugh at it, eh? So that's what you think of me.
Oh, we've been over this so many times, Wallace. Your play is just incredible, that's all.
I'll show you how incredible it is.
Wallace, please.
What if I prove that a man can talk a woman into suicide? I tell you, I can prove it. Why, I could talk even you into suicide within 48 hours.
Oh, Wallace.
Well, if you're so sure it can't be done, why don't you take me up on it?
But it's too ridiculous.
Yes? I'll bet you $40,000 I can do it.
Wallace.
Don't worry, I won't let you go through with it.
And if you can't make me?
If I can't, I'll never mention my play again.
Well, it's almost worth it at that. But if I'm talked into suicide, how can I pay you $40,000?
Just put it in writing, that's all. I, Marion Streber, hereby declare in the event...
In the event of my suicide within 48 hours, that I bequeath the sum of $40,000 to my husband, Wallace Streber.
What?
Have you got that, Nora?
Mrs. Streber?
Oh, it isn't as bad as it sounds, Nora. Wallace is just trying to prove that his play has possibilities.
But Mrs. Streber...
I think it's very clever of Wallace. Of course, he's not serious about it. But you see, even if he can persuade me to think about suicide, then he's proved his point. His play isn't so incredible as we say it is.
But you can't possibly go through with it. The whole thing's fantastic.
I think I'm a better judge of that than you are, Nora.
Mrs. Streber, you must call this off. You must. Don't you see? Don't you understand? That's why he was trying to get me out of the way. That's why he told you all those things about me. Oh, it's all so clear now.
I don't know what you're talking about, Nora.
Your husband wanted me out of the way so he could... So he could murder you for your money.
Nora.
I know it. It's true. Something awful is going to happen. I could feel it the minute he walked into this house. I know.
Nora Wallace was right. You can pack your things and leave in the morning. Good night.
I was terrified. I knew Marion Streber was going to be murdered, and I was powerless to save her.
Playwright Wallace Streber married the wealthy play producer Marion Dunning. Nora Talbert was much distressed. Nora was secretary to the new Mrs. Streber, and she felt certain that Streber's affections extended only so far as the fat Dunning purse. Having married Marion, Wallace Streber began vainly trying to get his wife to back his play, dealing with a man talking a woman into suicide. Nora and Mrs. Streber thought the plot ridiculous and implausible. Streber, infuriated, bet his wife $40,000 that he could talk her into suicide, and within 48 hours, having tried, meanwhile, everything to get Nora out of the way. Nora wouldn't leave because she was sure some disaster would come of the suicide note that Marion Streber jokingly had dictated to her, setting forth the terms of the wager. When Nora told her employer of her fear that Wallace Streber planned to murder Marion after tricking her into writing the note, Marion ordered her to leave the house in the morning. Now, Nora lies in her bed, terrified of what this strange and violent night might bring.
During the night, I could see a gleam of light streaming through their window, and it seemed to be moving back and forth, back and forth. I thought my imagination was playing tricks when I heard an eerie, monotonous voice that sounded like Wallace Strieber's. I put on my robe and quietly went down to the end of the corridor near their room. I listened. It wasn't my imagination. The voice was Wallace Strieber's. Eerie, monotonous, saying over and over again...
You're going to kill yourself. You're going to kill
Even
yourself.
Even the walls seemed to be echoing and whispering.
You're going to kill yourself.
The wind moaned it louder and louder and faster and faster.
You're going to kill yourself. Kill. Kill. Kill.
I found the body of Marion Strieber in her bedroom, a bullet hole through her heart. Then later...
Through her heart, Inspector?
That's right, Mr. Strieber. The coroner just gave me his report a few minutes ago. The bullet went right through her heart, causing instant death.
Poor Marion.
I'm sorry to have to ask you questions at a time like this, Mr. Strieber, but...
Of course, Inspector. Anything.
There were no fingerprints on the gun except those of your wife. However, there's a question of a letter. Miss Talbot said Mrs. Strieber dictated it to her last evening. Correct, Miss Talbot?
That's right, Inspector.
Do you recognize this letter, Mr. Strieber? I, Marion Strieber, hereby declare in the event of my suicide, within 48 hours, that I bequeath the sum of $40,000 to my husband.
Well, of course I recognize it, Inspector, but it was just a joke, a bet, a wager. Surely you can't think that this...
A rather odd sort of joke, Mr. Strieber.
Well, let me explain. Marion wouldn't produce my play. She thought the idea behind it inconceivable, a man talking a woman into suicide. So I made a wager with her. I thought by infiltrating Marion's mind with the lines of the play, she'd get to like it and produce it. It's the truth, I swear.
But not the whole truth, Inspector.
I never thought she'd really do it, I tell you. It was a joke. I just read the play to her, that's all.
Inspector, Mrs. Strieber wouldn't commit suicide. She wasn't the kind of a person who would commit suicide.
Inspector, I think I'm qualified to know my wife's mental attitude and character better than her secretary.
She was a sane, strong-minded person. I tell you, she wouldn't kill herself.
Marion was depressed lately. She seemed to be brooding about something. She was morose and unhappy.
That's not true.
What are you trying to do, Nora? Pin this on me? Incidentally, I noticed your bags were packed. Perhaps to make a quick getaway? Were you perhaps leaving the scene of the crime?
I was going to leave this morning, Inspector. Mrs. Strieber asked me to because we had a disagreement about that wager. I told her something disastrous would come of it. I was right.
However, Miss Talbot, there is no additional evidence to prove the fact that Mrs. Strieber was killed by anyone but herself.
Then there won't be an inquest?
I'm so upset by this whole thing, I just can't believe it.
There's no need to bother you anymore, Mr. Strieber, or you, Miss Talbot. There will be no inquest. I am entering the verdict as suicide.
The case was closed. The verdict was suicide, and I left Dunning Mansion. But as the days passed, I knew no peace. The shot I heard that fatal night tormented me. And the voices and the peculiar circumstances which surrounded Mrs. Strieber's suicide. I knew there must be some way, some clue, something I could find that would prove to the police that Mrs. Strieber was murdered. So one night, about 3 weeks later, I decided to return to Dunning Mansion to look for additional evidence.
Oh, Miss Nora. Well, good evening.
Good evening, Tompkins.
Mr. Strieber isn't in, miss.
I left some of my things here, Tompkins. I thought
oh,
I might...
Certainly, Miss Nora. Come right in. It's nice to see you again.
Thank you, Tompkins. How is everything?
Oh, quite different without Mrs. Strieber here. It was very sad, Miss Nora.
Yes, it was. Very.
She was a fine lady. And very fond of you, miss. If ever I can do anything for you...
That's very kind of you, Tompkins. I'd better get my things. I guess they're still upstairs.
Yes.
Oh, you don't have to bother, Tompkins. I know the way.
Of course, miss.
I went straight upstairs to Streber's room. I opened the door and walked in. I felt that somehow, here in this room, I'd find the answer to the questions that were in my mind. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I determined to uncover every possibility. I looked everywhere, but I found nothing. I was about to leave when I noticed an old book partially hidden in the magazine rack. It was a very old volume of plays, with a bookmark at a certain page. I opened it there, and the title of the play was Talk to Death, the same as Streber's. I thumbed through the pages. There was the suicide plot, the wager, even the letter. I, Evelyn Forbes, declare in the event of my suicide within 48 hours that I bequeath the sum of $40,000 to my husband. It was exactly the same as Streber's play, word for word, only this had been written more than 30 years ago. The pieces of the puzzle clicked neatly together. I finally found the answer to the riddle of Marion Dunning's murder.
Well, Nora?
Wallace Streber.
Yes. Wallace Streber. Is it too presumptuous of me if I ask what you're doing here?
I just came up to read your play.
I see. You went through my things quite thoroughly.
I thought
you... You thought you'd look around. And you found the book.
Yes. You plagiarize admirably, Mr. Streber. Better than anyone I know.
Since you're so very much interested in my play...
Your play? You mean the play you copied word for word.
Too much knowledge can be very dangerous, Nora.
Also very helpful. Like finding out that you never intended to have a play produced at all. You copied this only as an excuse for murder. A frame-up to get your wife to write a suicide note so you could murder her and get away with $40,000.
Sit down, Nora. Since you're so interested in my play, we're going to read it together.
No, I'm leaving.
Nora, I said sit down. There. That's better. Now we'll run through the big scene. Go ahead, Nora. You start from here.
Why are you trying to mesmerize me into suicide? I've been half out of my mind.
Go ahead, Nora.
Half out of my mind. Since I agreed to act as your guinea pig.
Evelyn, darling, you were trying to help me accomplish something that no psychiatrist has ever done before in medical history. To prove that a man can have enough influence over a woman to persuade her to kill herself.
Let's drop the whole thing, Roger.
Look, dearest, we'll end the joke right now. You write out a suicide note, there's a topper, and we'll all have a laugh about it. Here. Here's a pen and some paper. Now, write this. I have decided to kill myself. Life no longer holds any meaning for me.
No longer holds any meaning for me.
Now sign it.
Evelyn. There. That's over.
Yes. It is over.
That's not the next line, Mr. Streber.
No. The next line is, I'm going to have to kill you. I'm going to have to kill you, Nora.
And then...
Easy, easy, Miss Talbot, easy. It's all right. You don't have to say any more. I can finish it from there, Johnson.
Yes, Inspector.
Miss Talbot screamed. A shot rang out. But this time it was the killer who was killed. Tompkins, the butler, having overheard the conversation, telephoned in time for this office to apprehend Wallace Streber and close the case.
Inspector, I...
It's all right, Miss Talbot. Everything's all right. Wallace Streber is dead. He's committed his last murder.
From shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.
The Haunting Hour, on Tuned to Yesterday from the Middle 1940s, a syndicated broadcast. You're listening to an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. And now time for The Weird Circle with a story from Washington Irving, the only story of his adapted on the show, called The Phantom Picture. This from NBC syndication from 1944.
Phantoms of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale, The Phantom Picture. And gentlemen, as you know, here are the works of our greatest Italian artists of today. You, the most renowned art critics in the kingdom, will choose tonight that work which is to hang in the Pitti Gallery beside Raphael, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, the classic masterpieces of Italy. Weigh your decision carefully, gentlemen. Thank you.
Hello, you wanted to see me?
Yes, yes, Dr. Gano. Please close the door.
Yes, but what's the...
Hurry, please.
See, here, stop pushing. What's wrong with you? Who's out there? Is someone following you?
No, no.
Well, then why do you keep looking back over your shoulder?
Oh, that, I have a painting.
Oh, see here, now stop this foolishness. If you're hungry, go to the kitchen. And if it's money you want, here's a sum to buy your lodging. I must get back to my guest.
No, wait, please.
I haven't time. The whole kingdom awaits the decision of those critics in there. The choice of the painting which will hang in the gallery beside the masters is being made by them.
Paintings? Masters? They call that art? They don't know what real art is. Here, look
at... Oh, really, now, this is no amateur competition.
Amateur?
See here, who are you? And why do you keep looking out of that window? Is this a stolen canvas?
No, no, it's mine. You don't know me, do you? But maybe you will when you see my painting. Watch closely now. There.
Oh.
Now do you know me? Take a good look.
What is it?
Study it.
Can it be it? It is a face, a human face.
Yes.
It's ghastly. Got the cloth.
See, you can't take your eyes off it. Now do you recognize me?
No. No.
Look again. Study the painting carefully.
Such a subject. Vulgar.
This is a painting worthy to hang in the gallery. This is a really great work of art, my greatest.
No painting with a subject like that can be a great work of art.
It is a masterpiece, I tell you, and you must buy it.
Buy that?
Yes.
Why, you're positively mad. Why, I can't buy that. It's too frightful.
You must. I need the money, Dr. Gano, now, tonight. You're the only one can help me.
But I...
No, wait. Before you answer, I must tell you all this. It's driving me mad. I must tell someone. I'm hunted, traveling by night, sleeping in haystacks in the hills by day, foraging for food up in the mountains. Not daring to risk showing myself in town. And all the time haunted by this face you see here. Hours on end. Waking up at night to see it staring at me. Seeing it in the food I eat. I tell you, it's driving me insane. Insane, I tell you. Long ago, when I left Naples. It was midsummer then. When I stowed away on a bark in Naples Harbor. Little did I realize then what the future held for me. Yes, and of the new life which awaited me in Genoa.
Oh, bravo. That is the exact likeness of the organ grinder to the very last hair of his mustache. Oh, signore, you have great talent.
Oh, not yet. Well, I wouldn't be painting on sidewalks for my bread and meat, but I shall be great someday.
Someday you shall, if you receive the proper training.
When I can afford it, I shall seek a great artist to teach me.
But why pay for your training? I will teach you for nothing.
You? And who are you?
Oh, look closely, my boy. Don't you recognize me?
Are you? Is it possible you are Pasquale, the celebrated portrait painter?
None other.
And you will teach me for nothing? Mm-hmm. Oh, how can I ever thank
you? Oh, don't. Come along now.
Where to?
To my studio, of course. You are a pupil of mine. Come along. It's not far. A simple but comfortable place on the edge of the city. away from all the noise and confusion, away from colonnades and mammoth terraces, where a man can really work.
Oh, I still don't understand why you're doing this.
Well, it's really very simple. I'm an old man now, old and famous, and I have more orders for work than I can possibly take care of. It's about time I hired an assistant.
You mean I am
a lot of hard work? You see, my heart is not what it should be. I can't work like I used to. Yes, you'll have to work hard.
Oh, I can do that all right. Just think, a chance to study under the great...
Don't forget, though, I shall use you to good end. yes, you look like a clean-cut young fellow. Maybe you'll have a good influence on my son, Filippo. He's 19. About your age, I would say, and a thoroughgoing rascal. Your industry will set him a good example, I hope.
I shall do my best, sir.
And then, too, before long, you may meet my daughter, Bianca, when she returns from the seminary. Oh, come along. Come along, or we shall be late for dinner. Oh, Ottavio.
Yes?
Come here for a moment.
Oh, good morning, Pascal. Oh, you're looking better this morning.
Oh, and I feel better after that last attack.
What did the doctor say?
I must take it easy, that's all. Heart won't stand excitement. Oh, how is that portrait for the depressed family coming?
Oh, it's almost finished. Another 5 hours, perhaps.
Well, let it be for now. I have a rush portrait to do for Gattanos to hang in the palace at the Strada Balbi. You get on it right away. Bianca will sit for you. Is your mother away? Where is she, anyway?
Oh, she's out picking flowers, I suppose.
That's all she seems to do since she came back from the seminary. That and read books.
Oh, she has the soul of a poet. Besides, the walks and the fresh air are good for her.
Oh, so you like her, don't you?
Well, sir, you'll have to admit she is very beautiful.
Oh, I am willing to say she is. After all, I am her father. But it's good to have other people agree with me, especially young, handsome men. Oh, yes, she is a good girl. I'm proud to be her father. I wish I could say the same about Filippo. Well,
Pasquale, you mustn't say that.
Right, but it is the truth. He came home drunk again last night. Lost some more money at gambling. That just doesn't seem to be anything we can do with him, does there?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, there. It's all right. You've tried your best. You run along now and find Bianca. And be sure to keep your mind on the painting.
Yes, but you are already famous, Pasquale. Must you accept another commission?
Oh, one does not do murals in the Vatican every day, Ottavio. Nor have pictures hung in St. Peter's. And besides, we are in sad financial straits at the moment.
Oh, Pasquale, why didn't you tell me? What?
No, it's Filippo. Came home drunk again last night. And another spree. This time he sold all the paintings in the studio.
All of them?
Yes, debts. He'll have us all beggars with his high life.
Well, Pasquale, I have never told you, but I have been sending some of my work out to Florence under an assumed name, of course. I took the name of
Cacciata.
Well, I have a little something saved. You know how I feel toward Bianca? If you would...
No. I would not think of it. I'll put a stop to this once for all, even if I must have my own son jailed.
And... you're sure you want me to make the trip?
Oh, yes, indeed. You should complete the plans and estimates and be back from Rome within 2 weeks. And then when it's all settled, we'll tell Bianca.
So what about Filippo? Don't you think...
No. You'll get started. I can handle him myself. Yeah, there he is coming up the walk now. Oh, I wish my health permitted me to go with you. But remember, the painting for St. Peter's should be similar to my Madonna, which hangs in the Church of the Annunciata here in Genoa.
I won't forget. Say goodbye to Bianca for me.
Yes, I shall. Goodbye to you. Now, a safe journey and hurry back. I tell you, Filippo, this is the last straw. If you don't get the money back for those paintings, I shall turn you over to the police.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, yes, I would, and I'm going to.
No, you won't. That would cause a scandal, and you're too famous to want that.
You have been using my good name all your life to run up debts, leading a wild life. Haven't you any sense of dignity? Why don't you earn your own way? You're a healthy young man.
You're an old fool to think I would do that.
Filippo, I'm still your father.
You're still an old fool. I don't mind the life I lead so long as I don't have to work for a living.
My own son. I could kill you with my own bare hands for talking like that.
Father, stand back. What are you going to do?
My own
Get back.
Son.
Get back.
Let me go.
Let me go. I tell you. attack me, will you? That ought to show you. Father. Father, get up. Father.
Help me with these packages, Filippo. There. Where's Father? Filippo, what's wrong? Where's Father?
In there. On the floor.
He's hurt. Oh, no. Oh, no. Father, speak to me. Oh, what happened?
I heard Octavio quarreling with him. I hurried in and found Father lying there on the floor.
Octavio? Oh, no, no, no. How could he? No, no, he couldn't do that to me. Not to my father, no.
Bianca. Bianca, I've searched all over Genoa for you.
It's you. Go away. Go away, please.
But I... You heard her. Go away.
You killed my father.
Killed? Have you lost your senses? Your father dead?
Yes.
I don't believe it. Filippo, say it's not true.
It's true enough. He died of a heart attack after you quarreled with him.
After I quarreled with
him? Oh, don't act so surprised. Go away now. Can't you see Bianca wants nothing more to do with you?
Bianca, look at me. You don't believe that I killed your father?
Yes, I do. And my heart, here, it's dead.
No, don't say that. It can't be true. You don't really believe it.
I have nothing more to say to you.
Now will you leave?
Nothing more to say. You, Filippo, you're responsible for all this, you and your lies. Yes, you even told me you knew nothing of Bianca's whereabouts when I met you on the street. If I hadn't followed you here, I might never have seen Bianca. No, I wouldn't have seen her. You and your lies. Your lies.
Octavio, no. No, put down that knife.
Lies, all of it. No, no, don't. Help me. Help. Help.
That will close your lying mouth.
Air. Choke those lying words.
Put down that knife. Octavio, stop it. Oh, no.
Dead. You've killed him. Flee. Get out of here. You've killed him. His face staring at you. Yes, at you. Out the door, quickly. Now, down the back street. Run. Keep running. The police, they'll be here soon. Down this alley. Now safe for a while. But his face, those eyes following you. Get away from him. Get away.
All right, sir. We have one left on the third floor.
Does it face the street?
Yes, the corner room. Did you want one facing the court?
No, no, no. I can't stand to be hemmed in. Are there any fire exits going past the windows?
No, I'm sorry.
Never mind. So much the better.
Someone else in your party?
No, 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 no. Show me the room, please.
You could looking over your shoulder. I saw
the room, man. I want to sleep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right this way. Here it is.
Thank you.
It's a very comfortable room. Now, if you want anything, just ring.
Oh, no.
Why? What is it, sir? What's wrong?
It's nothing. I thought I saw someone.
Oh, why do you draw the curtains?
I don't like to have people looking in my window.
But you're on the third floor and across the street there. Those are business houses.
You say there are no fire exits outside the window.
No, none at all.
That will be all.
Such a clear night, you really need some air and such a beautifully full moon.
I look after my own health, if you don't mind. I said that will be all.
I'm sorry, sir. Good night.
Oh, just a minute, sir. How far are we from the center of town?
6 miles. The Apennines are that way, to the west. We're on the outskirts of Genoa here.
Thank you. Good night.
You want to be called in the morning?
No, no, no. I'll be up early.
Very well, sir. Good night.
At last. Alone in this room. Safe here. Police will search. They will not know who killed Filippo. They will not know unless...
Bianca will tell. You didn't think of that, did you? You must leave. You must get out of Genoa. Now. At once.
Yes. Yes. Now, at once, I must. Back to the mountains. I'll be free in the mountains. The face, it cannot follow me there. No, it cannot follow me there. Days in this wilderness. Water. A brook. My tongue parched. Now I can drink. Now at last I can take a drink. Thank goodness for this brook.
Is that a scar on your face?
No. No, I have no scar.
Look closer. There, on your right cheek.
It is. It is a scar. But it can't be. I never had one.
No, you didn't, did you? But remember, he had one. Yes. Behind you. Look.
You! No. No, there's no one there. But the reflection in the book. That is my face. The scar. In my hair. Blood. My hair was always dark.
But his was light, remember? He had blonde hair.
A scar. My hair turning. He haunts me. His face. Everything about him, even out here. I must get out of these mountains before I go mad. Town. A city in the distance. Campanella, it must be Florence. I must risk going down. I can't bear it up here any longer. I can't bear it. I can't. Dr. Bichetti.
Yes, come in. Here, sit down. Cigarette?
No, thank you.
Mind if I smoke?
No, I... Doctor, I...
Now, don't be nervous. I'm your friend.
Doctor, look at me.
Yes, I am.
Had my face look close.
Well?
What do you see?
Refinement. Under a heavy beard, of course.
Is that all? No marks of any sort, such as a scar?
No scar.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Then, doctor, tell me. You're a great doctor. Why do I see a scar on the right side of my face every time I look at myself?
How long have you seen this scar?
2 weeks, a month. I've lost track of the exact time. It's horrible. The way it keeps haunting.
Yes, I begin to understand. Has an unusual occurrence overtaken your family? Someone close pass away?
No. What business is that of yours? I came here to ask about the scar, not to be cross-examined like a...
No, I only want to help you.
I'm sorry, doctor. I pass away. Family. Oh, yes. My cousin, he died last month.
And did he have a scar? Similar to the one you mentioned, I mean?
No. Yes, he did. But perhaps I...
Our minds are delicate mechanisms, sometimes hard to control. You undoubtedly were very attached to your cousin, were you not?
In a way, we saw a great deal of each other.
And no doubt you think of him often. Although why you should imagine that you see it. How long since you've worked? I see by the form the nurse gave you to fill out that you're an artist.
Several months.
No, I can't be sure. But that explained this phenomenon in part. You should keep yourself occupied. Suppose we start by recommending work. Lots of it.
You really think it will help me, Doctor?
Definitely.
Whatever you say.
Just a minute. I know of someone. Do you do portraits, by the way?
Portraits? Yes.
Well, I can help you then.
You can help me? How? What?
You're to stop at this address at 11 tomorrow. Ask for Signor Fioro. He'll be expecting you. He's had every artist in Florence do his portrait. Insists his likeness will hang in the palace before he dies. He's a very exacting sitter. Good luck.
Doctor, I don't see why you trust me this way.
I am a doctor. I like to think of myself as being one to help a fellow man. Now, you need help. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
But what about your fee? After all, I just can't...
You can take care of that after you've proven yourself with Signor Fioro. Yes, after you've satisfied the signor with your work.
One moment more. Now, Signor Fioro. Steady.
Well, that'll be enough for today.
One last touch.
I must dress now. I have a dinner engagement. I'll have time to sit tomorrow at 2. You know, Octavio, you're a gifted portraitist. The outline was very satisfactory. Let me see how you've progressed with the details.
Well, wouldn't you rather wait to see the completed work?
Oh, no, nonsense. I'm proud of it that far. Let me see it.
If you insist.
Oh. No. Well, that's not me.
I tried to...
What have you done with my portrait?
Signora...
What have you done to it? Answer me.
I don't know. I
you don't know. You've ruined it. That's what you've done. You've ruined the only picture I've ever considered buying. Look at it.
Signor Fiore.
Go ahead. Just look at it. Now, is that me, I ask you? Is that me?
No, sir.
Are those my eyes? Is that my nose? My mouth? Do I have that scar? No. That picture is frightful. Take it out of here. I might have known Dr. Fischetti would send me one of his crazy patients. Take that away from here. You hear me? Get out. Don't ever let me set eyes on you again. Get out.
I fled from the man's place, Dr. Giano, into the hills beyond Florence. There, in a simple hut, I set to work to erase forever from my mind the phantom face which haunted me constantly. I set to work to reproduce it on Signor Fioro's canvas. All the ghastly details of the face which stared up at me from the floor of that osteria in Genoa where my victim fell. Protruding eyes, the jagged scar, the teeth glistening like fangs. I poured all the skill of my art, all the power of my emotion into this last desperate attempt to free my soul. And here. Here is the finished work. It represents the hours of torture and agony I've undergone. My atonement, my penance for my crime. You can see it in every brushstroke. You must help me, Dr. Giano. You must buy it. You must.
One moment. Those lines. That distinctive brushstroke, the excellence of detail. Why, this resembles... Why, this is Cassio's work.
You recognize it, then?
But of course. Then you are the one who sent those canvases from Genoa. You are Cassio.
Yes, doctor. Now, will you help me? Now, will you buy...
But we have some of your work in there being judged.
Oh, they are of minor importance. I must have the money.
Wait. Now, listen to me. Listen closely. You are a famous man.
No. No one but you knows my real identity.
Ah, but I'm not the only one who knows your real identity.
Who else? I must not be seen here.
Wait. Don't run away. I know you're innocent. I believe everything you've told me. I knew your story even before you came here, but I didn't interrupt you because I wanted you to corroborate.
Who told you?
Bianca.
You know Bianca?
As a connoisseur of art, should I not know the daughter of the great Pascal? Wait here now. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Bianca! Bianca, come here.
No.
Yes, Dr. Giano.
Come here, my dear. Bianca. He has come back.
Octavio.
Bianca.
Octavio, don't speak. I know all the facts now. I know a fingerprint.
You will not turn me over to the police for the murder.
Listen to me, Octavio. We must go to the police. We must go to them and tell them everything. And I will stand by now. Well,
that is wise, Bianca. Octavio is a famous artist. The people love his work. The police will be convinced that he has done penance enough when they see the painting he has painted.
By your face, I see that you suffered much, Octavio. Come with me to the police and free yourself from your pain.
To be really free. A free man.
I will stand by you. I know you will be free.
I have regained my strength already, Bianca. Do I have anything to fear if you will stand beside me?
Listen, don't you hear them? They've chosen your painting. Come, Octavio. Walk with me into the gallery and accept their acclaim.
Pages of the past, we have brought you the Phantom Picture. Bellkeeper, toll the bells.
The Weird Circle on Tuned to Yesterday, featuring Washington Irving's story, The Phantom Picture, from 1944. And that wraps up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for tuning in.